Children's Church, they're free to head out to the aisles and head back with Mrs. Diana and just head in that direction, and she will head you the right way. Take your Bibles today, if you will, and to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, and the video that you just saw on the screen and listened to is the Imperials, and the Imperials will be here this week. Hard to believe, we're down to showtime, brother. And it's this week, and they are ready to be here. They'll be coming into town on Friday, and I think two of the gentlemen are traveling in from Nashville. The other one's traveling in from, Daryl's traveling in from Atlanta, and just pray for them. But they'll be arriving here on Tuesday, Friday of this week. And so if you need a ticket, you can still get one out at the Welcome Center. The tickets are $18 a ticket. There'll be a gospel concert here Friday night at 7 o'clock, and I think the doors open at 6, and if you wait till the day of, it's $20. If you want to get a free ticket, you can bring 10 guests and along with you and get a free ticket and come and enjoy a good evening of gospel concert and not Christmas, but gospel music. Well, I don't know. Maybe they'll throw in a Christmas music. I don't know what they're going to do. So we'll look forward to seeing these gentlemen as they come and minister here, and look forward to seeing them this Friday night. In your Bible, if you will, to the book of Matthew, and the book of Matthew. And, you know, I've taken the last couple Sundays and preached on a couple of sermons on biblical stewardship from a couple different directions. Today I want to take kind of a spin off of that that really has to do with two parables in the Bible. And the reason why I want to do that, Jesus taught by parables. And there are, what, between 40 and 50 parables in the New Testament. There's, I think, probably 15 or 16 parables in the Old Testament. And you say, well, what's a parable? A parable is just simply a simple story. And Jesus really told things or taught things oftentimes by a simple story. He told a story, and it's used to illustrate a moral or a spiritual lesson. And so really, it kind of ties in, the message today kind of ties in with biblical stewardship, but it's not what you would think from what he's teaching here in the parable, and I'll get to that here in just a moment. So really, a parable is the comparison of two objects for the purpose of teaching. There is nobody that taught it any better than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was the greatest of all, and the principles and what he taught and the lessons that he taught, and they just stood and was amazed at what he taught and tried to understand what his teachings were. So in Matthew 25, we're going to look at this morning the parable of the talents. And it's really here, this parable is really means that we're in training really for a larger service in order or yet to be that our place and standing there will depend on the faithfulness of our stewardship here. So if I was to put one word and the importance of what biblical stewardship really is all about is faithful. It's the word faithfulness. I haven't touched anything, brother. I don't know what I'm just waiting for that jolt, you know, that I don't know if he has a butt back there that he hits and say, I'll get him straightened out here. You know, he'll get me straightened out here in a minute. So if I get it, I'll see you in heaven. All right, don't worry about it. And anyway, Luke chapter 19 and is another one we're going to look at this morning is the parable of the 10 pounds. And this one differs in some points, but it's similar to the parable of the talents, but it also illustrates the same general truths, and we're going to look at that and how important it is, and it really keys in on no matter where you're at, whether it be the time that God has given to you, or the talents or that he has given to you, or the money that he has given to you, you and I are required to be faithful. So these two parables centers around the principle, the Bible principle of faithfulness, of being faithful in our stewardship of that which God has given. Another way to express it, when I went to Bible college, the president of Bible college was Dr. Earl K. Odom, and he used to say a principle, always think of it, he used to say, consistency, consistency, thou art a jewel. And really what comes down to it, faithfulness, being consistent day in and day out and day in and day out, consistent in our walk with the Lord and our devotions to him and our worship to him and faithfulness to him. That's really what stewardship really is all about. And the important part of stewardship is just being faithful. So let's look at this this parable here this morning, if you will. And in Matthew, we'll begin reading in verse 14 down to verse 30. And verse 14 says, for the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 25:14, The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, and to every man, notice this now, according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents, another 5 talents more. Verse 17, and likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2 more talents. But in verse 18, he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 22, he also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Do you notice how similar verse 21 and verse 23, exactly the same. And to the same response to the person that had 5 talents and the same response to the one that had 2. But now look in verse 24. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, and reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury, with interest. Take therefore the talent from him, the one that had 1, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. That first one had 5 and was given 5 more. Now they're going to take 1 away from the man that had 1 and give it to the man that now had 10 talents. Verse 29, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, when you look at this parable, the parable here, really, you know what it does? I think this parable really illustrates in the Scripture the situation described here, the tragedy, really, of a wasted opportunity. And the man that was given 5 invested that and treated that wisely and gained 5 more. The man that had 2 took those 2 and gained 2 more. But the man that had 1 took and dug it in the ground and hid that talent. So when you look at it, it really becomes a parable of wasted opportunity. So here's something to keep in mind, that in our stewardship, we want to make sure that we have been faithful in that which God has entrusted to us, with everything he's entrusted, and be like the man that has the 5 and the man that has the 2 that we've done wisely within our stewardship that he's given to us. We don't want to go through life and have wasted opportunities like this man that received the 1. So here in the Bible, the man who goes on the journey here, you notice that back in verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into far country. That man represents Christ. That man represents the Lord Jesus. And the servants here represent those professing believers, those that are saved by faith in Christ, that have been given different levels of responsibility. Not everybody in life is given the same levels of responsibility. whatever the level of responsibility that is entrusted. You might be somebody that is entrusted five. You might be somebody who's entrusted two. Or you could be somebody who's entrusted one, and hopefully not, but you've taken and dug that, buried it in the ground, and now living with a wasted responsibility or wasted opportunity. So really the key here is faithfulness. Faithfulness is what he demands of them, and the parable suggests that all who are faithful will be fruitful to some degree. What do you want me to do, brother? I don't know. Can you just put me on the pulpit, Mike? We'll go with the pulpit. I'll turn this off. We'll give him a second to get it plugged in here, and I'm not sure what's going on, but like Brother Ron said, every once in a while the devil's in the details, and so I'll turn this mic off, and we'll go to the pulpit, and should be able to pick me up good enough. Can you hear okay? Amen? All right, good. So the fruitless person here is unmasked really in the Bible as a hypocrite. And literally, when you take here the one that describes it as one, get down to verse 30, is literally destroyed. But notice in verse 14, this kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is really a sphere of profession. It's the believing world of Christianity. I don't know about you, but it's always exciting to think about all the believers from the beginning of time that will be in heaven. And those that have gone on behind. And by the way, Brother Bob Wilcox, wherever you're at, I love that song and love the message and what he put in there. And the importance of heaven, realizing as we get to heaven one day, we'll see all these believers and that we look at here at the kingdom of heaven. So here, the man traveling into our country is Christ. The servants is the believers in Christianity. But notice in verse 15, it talks about the talents. A talent, really, in verse 15, and it says the five talents here, really is a measure of weight. It doesn't say a specific coin. So that talent of gold, we know that a talent of gold is more valuable than a talent of silver. A talent of silver is translated, if you will, look at it in verse 18, as money. It says in verse 18, but he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And so when you look at it here, you know, whatever it is, a talent of silver is translated here in verse 18 as money, and was a considerable amount of money. So the modern meaning word of talent here, denoting a natural ability, stems from the fact that this parable is many times erroneously applied to the stewardship of our gifts. But here, this is talking about money. It's talking about that which we've invested. And the one that receives five talents receives five more. The one received two receives two more. The one received one went and dug it in the earth, and that was taken away from him and given to the one that had ten. So all according to his ability, and then took his journey in life. You know, I found it interesting that in our world right now, here in America, in the last couple years or whatever, we began to see signs or conversation or talk about things about socialism. Or bringing in and trying to, you know, take from those which have maybe more to do or been blessed more in life or more wealthy in life or whatever, and spread that distribution of wealth all the way across the pond to everybody, so that everybody would be on an equal basis. Or to get to the point where many times I think a fallacy in our world is living off of the government. Well, who is the government and who provides, who pays for that? It's you and I as taxpayers along the way. And you know, we're living in challenging times. So when you think about it here today, all according to his several ability. And so God here gives us these verses. Notice in verse 16, the man with five talents traded with the same and made five talents more, bringing that total to ten. And then in verse 17, the man with the two talents traded with the same and made two talents more, bringing his total to four. But in verse 18, the man with the one wasted his opportunity. God forbid that we would go through life and get through and take and waste away our time, wasting away our money, wasting away our abilities, that which God has invested, that which God has entrusted to us. In verse 19, and after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and he reckoned with them. The owner of those servants, as he comes, we know the Lord is coming back. And when the Lord comes back, there will be a day of judgment. Everything we have will come into account. Everything that we own will come into account. That which we've been possessed, we have to give an account of the possession, the money, the things, and all that we've been given, we have to account to God for that which we've used in our stewardship. So as a result here in verse 21, I love this verse. Notice here it says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So here's the key. If you're faithful over a few things,
He will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You know, I know sometimes tithing, it becomes a challenge for some, and they struggle with that. And I've heard people say, well, you know, if I could make more, then I would, I don't need this on, I guess, huh? If I could make more, then I would tithe. You know, if you can't learn the Bible principle of tithing, the Bible principle of tithing and stewardship and dealing with money deals with all people of all walks of life, no matter where you're at in life. Amen. If you can't learn to tithe on $10,000, you're going to have a hard time learning how to tithe on $100,000. So from there, no matter where the income level, the requirement that God puts in place, it becomes the same to all people of all walks of life, no matter where you're at on the income scale. And so you notice here the reward given for the man that had five is the same as the reward given for the man that had two. And so in verse 22, the man with the two talents invested and received two more receives the same admonition when he gets to heaven. He says here, well done in verse 23, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So the key really in stewardship comes down to one key word, and that is the word faithfulness. Just being faithful in what God has given to you and I, to be faithful in our love to Him, be faithful in our praise to Him, be faithful in how He's blessed you along the way and giving back to Him and honoring God with our tithes and our offerings, but also honoring Him in all things. And so here, the joy of the Lord, both the men with the five talents and the man with the two talents received exactly the same reward, indicating that the reward is always based on faithfulness. So in our stewardship, we need to understand the biblical principle, whatever God has entrusted to you and I, and that in our life, wherever you're at in life and whatever you have available, you are entrusted with, we're to be faithful and to account for our stewardship. Now, notice in verse 24, he uses this word, a hard man. He said, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. What does that hard man mean in the Bible? In other words, his characterization of the master maligns the man here as a cruel and ruthless opportunist, reaping and gathering where he had no right to claim as his own. And really, literally, in stewardship, we don't own anything. Everything. This week, Bobby Bingham went to home to be with the Lord. And when I was in his home and talked with him, and I remember one of my first visits there, you know, he had a real sweet spirit about him, and we talked about the Lord. He had a real peace about whenever that time come. And so I had a chance to sit there and visit with Catherine and him for a while and have prayer together. And then on another visit I was there, I had an opportunity to visit with him again. He had begun to slide a little bit more. But you know, when I left and I drove away, I thought, you know, this man's getting ready to enter into eternity, and he's prepared for it. He's ready. He has a peace about it. But one thing for sure, what's going to get left behind is everything that he has. The house will stay here. The car, three cars in the driveway, that whatever whose cars those are, those all stay there. Everything there stays there. You leave all the family behind. And so when you look at it here, we need to be faithful in our stewardship with whatever God has given to us. Notice here this slothful servant, the one that has been given one. That's really what the Bible calls him, slothfulness. Does really not represent a genuine believer, for it's obvious that this man had no true knowledge of the master. Notice in verse 25, he said, I was afraid, went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. You ought not to be afraid. You know, we look forward one day. I don't know about you, but I look forward to going to heaven to meet the Lord, and one day we'll be with Him. We ought not to be afraid of that. But we ought to also realize the importance of our faithfulness. If you've been faithful here, you won't be ashamed there, and you'll be able to take what you've invested here and done here and lay it at the Savior's feet. But here, this person said, I was afraid. You know, there's some people that are afraid to go to heaven. There's some people afraid to take that last breath. There's some people that, they don't have the certainty of life. And this person said in verse 25, I was afraid. I went and I hid the talent in the earth, and there thou hast that is thine. And notice in verse 26, he said, the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked, it calls him a wicked and slothful. That word slothful simply means lazy servant. Thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. And so by this meaning, in repeating, notice this now, in repeating the servant's charge against him, the master was not acknowledging that it was true. He was allowing the man's own words to condemn him. If the servant really believed the master to be a kind man as portrayed, that was all the more reason for him not to be slothful. And so his accusation against the master, even if it had been true, did not justify his own laziness. So what did he do in verse 27? He said, "Thou shouldest, thou oughtest, therefore, to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury with interest." And so the man here with the one talent lost his to the man that now had 10. And you look at that and you say, well, how can that be fair? Because of faithfulness, God rewards faithfulness. More than anything else today, if I could say anything, would be thou consistent, be faithful. No matter where you're at, no matter what God has entrusted you and put into your care, be faithful and dedicated to that. And that's what God rewards. God rewards faithfulness in our stewardship. And notice in verse 29, to everyone who has, more will be given. He says in verse here, for unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. So the blessings of God always come through that faithfulness. The recipients here of divine grace inherit an immeasurable blessings in addition to eternal life and then the favor of God. But those who despise the riches of God's goodness or forbearance or long-suffering, burying them in the ground, then will realize, or clinging instead to the paltry transient goods of this world, will ultimately lose everything they have. Sometimes, you know, people try to hang on to or hoard on or not be, it really should be, God, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. Just hold one hand out, let God pour out his blessings into that hand and turn around and pour it right out the other side. And you and I just become a conduit, a flow through of God's blessings and God's resources. No matter where you're at, if you have 5 talents, if you have 2 talents, but don't be that one with 1 talent and dig a hole in the ground and say, God, I knew that you're a hard taskmaster. You don't want to go before the Lord empty handed and say, God, you know, I should have did this, I should have did that. No, we have the opportunity today. And he said here, to everyone who has, more will be given. I'll tell you what, it really is true. You really cannot outgive or out and take God's blessings and let them flow into one hand and let them just conduit and flow. But where people oftentimes get in trouble, they'll flow in maybe and they'll hoard them up and store them up. You know, I remember Israel. Remember Israel when they're in the promised land or they were wandering around in the wilderness, and they needed to wander there for 40 years because they had been disobedient to God. You had an unbelieving generation that did not believe him and trust him. So God said, okay, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years till this generation dies off. And did you notice what happened in the wilderness, how God provided for them? God provided for manna and quail one day at a time. Holding out one hand, God blessed, flow that in, and to go right on. And so, but where you get into trouble, you know, if you go around, you gather all that. Notice they tried to gather the manna up, hoard it up. It will rot in their teeth. And so you and I are much better off in our stewardship to let God's blessings flow through us and then on out to somebody else. And so you notice here in verse 30, the downside of this: cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this outer darkness here in the Bible really describes the farthest thing from light. Notice what the Bible says and teaches. The Bible says that God is love. The Bible says that God is light. What is one of the worst things about hell is outer darkness, and it's the farthest thing from light. And so when you look at it, outer darkness describes the farthest point of life. And notice this, weeping and gnashing of teeth speaks of an unconsolable grief and torment. And Jesus used that phrase in the Bible to describe hell. He said, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and where there is no light. You know, it'd be a horrible thing, and you know, where you could hold your hand in front of you and not even be able to see light, or where there's weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Jesus oftentimes used that phrase to describe a literal hell, and there's no relief in that for all of eternity. Now, go over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Let me just kind of briefly show you this, because these two kind of go together, but they have a few different similarities. The parable of the 10 pounds. And when you look at this parable here in Luke chapter 19, And in verse 11, down to verse 27 right here, we see this parable as it's laid out in Scripture. The parable of the 10 pounds, Luke 19, verse 11. As they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman, it's important, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, notice he used the word money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, good servant, because thou hast been faithful, there's that key word again in stewardship, faithful, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came and said, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him again, be thou also over 5 cities. So the key that unlocks this is the word faithfulness in verse 17 and verse 20. And then another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that which thou layest not down, reapest that thou did not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee. Thou wicked servant, thou knewest I was an austere man, taking up that I laid down and reaping that I did not sow, or that I laid not down and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And then he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which shall be given, and from him that hath not even that he hath has shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I would reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Now, interesting, when you look at this, it says in verse 11, they thought, the disciples here mistakenly assumed that Christ would establish, first of all, his kingdom on earth in Jerusalem, in verse 11. But notice this word far country in verse 12. Really, the kings in Roman provinces like Galilee and Perea actually went to Rome to receive their kingdoms. And then the entire Herodian dynasty was really dependent on Rome for ruling power, and Herod the Great himself had gone to Rome to be given his kingdom. So this parable here really illustrates in this passage in Luke 19, Christ, who would soon depart from this earth to receive his kingdom and will one day rule, return to be able to rule. So Christ is coming back. He departed. He was here in the incarnation. He went back to the Father, and he will come back and one day will rule here on the earth in the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is similar to the parable of the talents, but there are a few differences. The parable of the talents was explained by Jesus in the Mount of Olives on the Olivet Discourse. Here, this parable of the pounds was explained really on the road at Jericho leading up to Jerusalem. And so Jesus will be returning, and his reward, the Bible says, comes with him. The 10 pounds here, meaning minus, M-I-N-A-S, in verse 13, is really a Greek measure of money, equal to slightly more than 3 months' salary. A mina was 1/16th of a talent, meaning that the 10 servants in the parable had been given a considerable smaller sum to account for than any of the 3 servants in the parable of the talents. And then what did he say in verse 13? Occupy until I come. You and I are to occupy and invest wisely and do wisely while we're here. Notice in verse 14 it says, but his citizens hated him, sent a message after him. In other words, they sent a delegation after him with this. This is precisely what happened to Archelaus, the son of Herod the Great, when he went to Rome to be made tetrarch of Judea. A delegation of Jews traveled to Rome with a protest to Caesar Augustus, and he refused their complaint and still made Archelaus king of Judah anyway. And Archelaus subsequently built his palace in Jericho, and not far from where Jesus told this exact parable. So Archelaus here, rule was so inept and despotic here that the Rome quickly replaced him with a successor and by the name of what we know as Pontius Pilate. So with this parable here, Jesus warned that the Jews were about to do the same thing, but in a spiritual sense, to the true Messiah, the Christ. In verse 15, all 10 servants are called into account for that which they have been given. And so this really is a picture of Christ's return here to the earth, and the full manifestation of his kingdom on earth awaits for that time. And we're just now waiting for the Lord's soon return. In verse 16, the first it says, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And in verse 17, faithful in very little. The word I'm telling you today in Matthew 25 and Luke 19, the key to our stewardship is faithfulness. Be thou faithful in wherever you're at in your stewardship of life. So he says here, faithful in a very little. Well, being faithful over very little is now made rule over 10 cities. And those with relatively small gifts and opportunities are just as responsible to use them faithfully as those who are given much more. Do you ever think about it? Sometimes people in life are given much more responsibility, have been gifted with more in their stewardship. And others maybe a little bit less. Doesn't really make any difference. God proportions that out in life, but we're the key. No matter where we're at in our stewardship, are to be faithful in that stewardship. It's explained in Matthew 25. It's explained here in Luke chapter 19. And so over 10 cities, he said here, the second came also, he said in verse 18, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. So therefore, rule over in verse 19, 5 cities. So in verse 20, here is thy pounds, that was kept and laid up in a napkin. He said in verse 21, I feared you. In other words, a contempt for the master, and really showing this slothfulness. You know what an austere man means here in the Bible? It means somebody that is strict, somebody that is very demanding. And God lays down and demands total obedience, and you and I should be faithful in our stewardship. And he says in verse 22, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, and calls him a wicked servant, and he knew that he was an austere man. So the knowledge he claimed to have was enough to condemn him, and thus it will be with the wicked on that day of judgment. So one thing we need to keep in mind in our stewardship, I really believe this is absolutely true according to Scripture, that everything God has bestowed upon us and given to us, we will have to give an account to Him and all that He's put in our stewardship. We don't own anything in this life. Our families, our jobs, our money, our children, everything. I remember when our children were born, Nita and I took, and we dedicated them all three back to the Lord, because realizing that every child is a gift from God given to a mother and father, and they really belong to Him. And He's the master. And so everything, really, the money that we have belongs to Him. The home that you have belongs to Him. The cars we drive belongs to Him. One of these days, my friend, when you and I take our last breath, you will take nothing with you. You all leave it behind. Everything we own in our stewardship belongs to Him, and we are to be faithful to Him. God always demands the first part, the first portion. The tithe is always the first. Not only the tithe, but the first place, and everything that we do belongs to Him. The key, I think, in this parable is verse 26. Verse 26, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he that hath shall be taken away from him. Notice in verse 27, those enemies of mine, this illustrated really the Jews who actively opposed him. And notice it says here, they took him to slay them before me. This spoke of a harsh, violent judgment and maybe a reference to Jerusalem was destroyed completely in AD 70, not long after this in the Scripture. So when it comes down to it, really in the parable here, in our stewardship, in our biblical stewardship, no matter where we're at in life, whether we've been given 5 or been given 2 or whatever it is don't waste that opportunity. Be faithful to God in all things, and He will honor that and bless that and reward that. But many will take the one they've been given. and we'll bury that in the ground, saying, I know that thou art an austere man and difficult and hard to please and selfishly take and hoard that up for yourself. And it really just needs to be to trust God. God wants us more than anything else just to trust Him. Trust Him for salvation. Trust Him in our stewardship. Trust Him in every decision of life, to depend upon Him and to put Him first. And whatever's going on in your life, wherever you're at today, put God first. And be faithful to Him. Faithfulness, and it goes back to consistency, consistency. Thou art a jewel. You know, I often think about this, is it's not how you start out sometimes. It's how you finish. And oh my, I wish, you know, many times I see Christians, they'll get saved, and they'll get baptized, they'll begin to serve the Lord, and 6 months or a year or 2 years later, you look up and you say, well, where was so-and-so? What, you know, what happened? They did not remain faithful. And faithfulness is the key. No matter what, you got to make a determination. I will not quit. I will not give in. I will not throw in the towel. I will remain faithful. And just like Job of old in the Bible, though he slay me, and no matter what befalls me along the way, I will be faithful to God. In my love for Him, my walk with Him, the things that He has given to me and my stewardship of Him, I will put Him first, so that when He comes back, we can hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray. With every head bowed. And Father, today we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for these parables. We thank You for these examples in Scripture You give and how we're to look at life and to realize the blessings along the way really come from Your hand. And so, God, in our stewardship and all things, help us to be faithful to You, because it is only to You, God, that we must give an account of what we say, what we do, how we live our lives, how we handle all things in our stewardship. So, God, we love You today. We want to be faithful and obedient servants and not be like that slothful, lazy servant that took and was afraid and dug in the ground and hid that from You. And so, God, help us to be faithful until Jesus comes. And until He comes, God, we just pray for the salvation of the lost. We pray that if there's one here today that's not yet saved, have not yet trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, God, I pray the Holy Spirit would convict them of their sin today, draw them to Christ. And with every head bowed and every eye closed today, Father, today, I just want to ask the congregation today, if you're here, my friend, and you come in and you're not sure that you're saved, you're not sure what all this means, step number one is always salvation. Step number one is always to make sure that you're born again. One of these days, we may be standing here in this pulpit and we'll be reading your name to a congregation that says that you've passed from this life to the next. Are you prepared for that? Have you made a decision to trust Christ for your eternal salvation? If not, you can do so right now, right this moment, today. And if you're listening by way of the live stream, my friend, you can open your heart and trust Christ today. Don't leave here without being saved, without being born again. Why don't you trust Him right now? If you want to do that, you can just pray right where you're sitting today, in your heart, between you and God, and ask Christ to come in your heart. Just pray to yourself something like this today. Dear Heavenly Father, I recognize that I am a sinner. And God, I recognize today that I need to repent of my sin. So God, I would ask You to forgive me today and to give me eternal life, because today I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for my eternal salvation. I desire to be saved today and born again by the blood of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together today, my friend. If you're here and you prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart and you've not yet been saved, but today you trusted Christ, why don't you let us know? Let somebody know. Let your neighbor know. I'd be glad to pray with you here at the front. Maybe you just want to come here to pray. But more than anything else, I think our message in stewardship today is just simply faithfulness. And ask yourself this question: how faithful are you in your stewardship to God? And by the way, stewardship is really everything that He puts in our care. How faithful are we in our stewardship to Him? He needs to be first, as Brother Ron leads us. If you want to come to pray, the altar is open. I invite you to come.
I need Thee every hour.
I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. We really do.
No tender voice.
This today, maybe you want to take a moment and pray right where you're at today. Maybe there's a burden on your heart or something you want to talk to the Lord about. If there's anything that we can ever do to help you, myself, the staff, we'd love to meet with you either in a service, after a service, come by the office. We'd be glad to pray with you. You don't have to travel through this life and carry the burdens by yourself. Reach out to a friend, reach out to somebody and say, hey, pray for me. And I've got this burden in my heart. And by all means, may we all be faithful in our stewardship. And all God's people said, amen. Be seated just for a moment, if you will. Brother Adam, come right on, brother. He's going to update us on the contest today that we're having. So he'll get a microphone. I don't know what happened, brother, but we'll stick to the pulpit. There's the pulpit mic if you want to use it.
Can you hear me? So as you know, last week we started our connection challenge. And so this week I'm going to announce the person who got the most points, and then we're going to do a drawing for the second place winner. If you have a bulletin, just make sure that you fill out that paper that's inside of there, and if you wouldn't mind just dropping it inside of that box that you'll see out in the foyer, okay? So the person who got the most points this week was Larry Fucciarelli. Is he here? Go ahead and come up. Congratulations on that. And you can pick one of these gift cards right here.
He only gets one.
Yeah, he only gets one. But he can win again next week. So, and then also our second place winner is going to be Paul Tacey. Is Paul in here? Hey, there he is. Yeah, he gets to pick one. So yeah, if you wouldn't mind just taking those forms and then just filling them out and then dropping them inside of that box whenever you make your way out this afternoon. So there you go, Pastor. That one we're saving for next week.
All right. Well, Dunkin' Donuts. How many likes Dunkin' Donuts? All right, this is going to be yours next week. I'll tell you what, there's no such thing as a bad donut, amen? Maybe you and I should sneak this one
Let's
out.
Let's do it.
All right, and good to see you in church. Just as a reminder, a few things going on. The Imperials, get your ticket today. You still got 1 week. They will be here Friday night. Looking forward to Friday night. And be here for that, if you will. The Widows is having a luncheon. The Widows Ministry will be meeting at Bob Evans on Ford Road Thursday, April the 7th, if you want to mark that on the calendar. And then Dr. Michael Hertz will be with us. Dr. Michael Hertz is a Jew that was converted to Christianity, works with Chosen People's Ministry. I've had him here in the church before. He'll be back here on Palm Sunday. He'll be presenting the Messiah and the Passover, be serving the Lord's Supper on the morning of Palm Sunday. And so look forward to Dr. Hertz being with us, and he'll be making his way up from Florida. The men's golf outing is all locked in, and we put a deposit on that. We are playing Sunday on May the 22nd at Links of Novi. And if you're playing only Sunday, it's $50. And if you're playing Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it's $325. If you're just playing Monday and Tuesday and going to Gaylord, that grouping up there, that's $275. But you can go by the Welcome Center and sign up for that. We set it up, if you're paying it a third, and a third, you can do a third in March, a third in April, a third in May. We got to have all the money in by the middle, around May 15th. And then pray for good weather, amen? So that always helps. So pray for that. And then the Golden Agers are going to Turkeyville. Looks like the date here is on May 26th. If you want to put that on your calendar, if you have any questions, go by the Welcome Center, and they can answer your questions back there. See Barb or Ann and some of them, and they'll head you in the right direction. Good to see you in church today. Let's stand together, and remember, in our stewardship, we just want to be faithful to the Lord. Really, it will be, my friend, is one of these days we'll stand before Him, and we want to make sure we hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that's based on our faithfulness
to Him. No matter where we're at in our stewardship levels, we want to be faithful to Him. Heavenly Father, God, today, we love You. Thank You for the Word of God today. Thank You for the music that's such a blessing and lifts our hearts and our spirit to You. And so, God, today, thank You for Ron and the band and the choir and all the music that they put together and work so hard week in and week out. And God, thank You for the Word of God today. Thank You for Matthew 25 and Luke 19. Help us to keep in mind our responsibility and our stewardship is to be faithful to You in all things. God, we love You. Be with these dear folks as they go their way. Keep them safe. And we look forward to seeing each other again in the next service. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day. Good to see you in church.